Whether life's journey is full of triumphs and victories, riddled with struggles and disappointments, or maybe a little bit of both, it's been our experience that God's compassions never fail and His faithfulness is new every morning.
Welcome to Hole in the Roof Chronicles with Paul and Jamie Hamilton. Join us each week as we transparently share stories of God's faithfulness in our lives to be an encouragement to yours. Welcome to this week's episode of Hole in the Roof Chronicles. My name is Paul.
My name is Jamie.
And it's hard to believe that it's already halfway through the month.
Yes, it is very difficult to believe. Time has gone by pretty quickly. We're already seeing spring.
Definitely. And with spring comes baby chicks and all kinds of things. So if you hear chirping in the background of this episode, it's because Jamie and I are currently raising three baby chickens.
And they're being very vocal today. And so when the song says all creation worships the Lord, our chicks are worshiping the Lord today.
We tried very hard to not have them in the background, and that's just not going to work. So enjoy the chicken sounds while you listen to our episode. This coming Sunday is Palm Sunday, which is the beginning of Holy Week, which ends in Easter. And when we think about Easter and what Christ did on the cross and His resurrection, we usually think about forgiveness. So that's what we're talking about this week. We're going to talk about forgiveness, and we're going to start with...
I thought we would start with another story.
Sounds wonderful.
You like stories, right?
Of course I do.
Okay, check this story out. In his Sunday sermon, the preacher used "Forgive your enemies" as his subject. And after a long sermon, he asked how many people were willing to forgive their enemies. About half held up their hands. He was unsatisfied. He preached for another 20 minutes and repeated the question again. And this time, he had about 80% who responded. Still unsatisfied, he preached for another 15 minutes and repeated the question. Everyone responded this time, except for one elderly lady in the back of the church. "Mrs. Jones, are you not willing to forgive your enemies?" "Well, I don't have any." "Well, that's very unusual. How old are you?" "Well, I'm 93 years old." "Mrs. Jones, please come down to the front and tell the congregation how a person who has lived 93 years doesn't have an enemy in the world." The little sweetheart of a lady tottered down the aisle, slowly turned to the congregation, and she gave her answer. "It's very simple. I've outlived them all."
Wow. That's one way to do it. Yeah. So, yes, like I said, we're talking about forgiveness this week. What made me think of it was that it is the beginning of Holy Week. And when I think about the cross and what Jesus did and how that gives us forgiveness, I began thinking about how much freedom that there is in forgiveness. And I was brought to a parable that Jesus himself tells in Matthew chapter 18. And I want to read it. It's a little lengthy, but I wanted to read it because it gives a really good example of what we're talking about today. So Matthew 18, 21 through 35 in the New Living Translation. "Then Peter came to him and asked, 'Lord, how often should I forgive someone who sins against me? 7 times? "No, not 7 times, Jesus replied, "but 70 times 7. Therefore, the kingdom of heaven can be compared to a king who decided to bring his accounts up to date with the servants who had borrowed money from him. In the process, one of his debtors was brought to him who owed him millions of dollars. He couldn't pay, so his master ordered that he be sold along with his wife and children and everything he owned to pay the debt." Now, I'm going to take a little break here because I want to emphasize something. When it says that the servant owed him millions of dollars, in today's finances, he owed that man $20 million.
Wow.
And
that's a lot of money.
It's a whole lot of money. And In that day, people didn't make a whole lot of money for a day's wages, so it would have taken him 200,000 years to repay this debt.
In other words, it was impossible.
Definitely.
He would never been able to pay that debt back, ever.
Never. Mm-mm. So the story continues, but the man fell down before his master and begged him, "Please be patient with me and I will pay it all." Then his master was filled with pity for him and he released him and forgave his debt. But when the man left the king, he went to a fellow servant who owed him a few dollars. He grabbed him by the throat and demanded instant payment. His fellow servant fell before him and begged him for more time. "Be patient with me. I will pay it," he pleaded. But his creditor wouldn't wait. He had the man arrested and put the man in prison until the debt could be paid in full. Again, to give you kind of a way to think of this, he owed the man a few dollars, which in today's thing, he would have owed him under $20.
Wow.
So
once again, that's not very much. The comparison between the two is huge.
Yes. Jesus' parable continues. It says, "When some of the other servants saw this, they were upset. So they went to the king and they told him everything that had happened. Then the king called the man in who he had forgiven and said, 'You evil servant, I forgave you that tremendous debt because you pleaded with me. Shouldn't you have mercy on your fellow servants just as I had mercy on you?' Then the angry king sent the man to prison to be tortured until he had paid his entire debt. That's what my heavenly Father will do to you if you refuse to forgive your brothers and sisters from your heart."
Wow.
Yes, it's a very powerful parable Jesus is telling here. And when you really think about it, I mean, go back to what I said. Here you have a man who owes the king $20 million and really could never have paid that off in his lifetime.
No.
And he's begging the king, he's pleading with the king, and the king has mercy on him. Immediately after being forgiven the debt, instead of just being ecstatic and happy and everything, he immediately walks out, looks at his fellow servant who only owes him under $20.
Yeah.
Grabs him by the throat and demands payment. Nowhere in the man's heart was he willing to forgive just as he had been forgiven.
He'd been forgiven a debt that he could never repay.
Definitely.
The man that he was demanding the money from could probably eventually repay that debt because it was a small amount.
Yes. And one of the things that strikes me the most about this, and when you really read it, the parable, at the end of this, not only is the servant who owed the king so much money now in prison, but his fellow servant is still in prison.
Yes.
It doesn't say that the king released the other person.
Correct. Yeah.
So,
I know when we were talking about doing this podcast, one of the things that you had mentioned to me was that you wanted to talk specifically about how this story and how forgiveness has really touched your life.
Yes. One of the things we mentioned in our very first podcast was that I had suffered a major health crisis after the death of my mom. It was a very hard time for me, for Jamie, just a lot of things that would take too long to go into discussion about. But it really affected our family. And unfortunately, I was initially misdiagnosed as having bipolar disorder. But a lot of the behaviors I was doing and the symptoms that were coming from this mental illness didn't really line up.
No, they didn't.
With bipolar disorder.
I think even being on medication, the medication that you were on,
mm-hmm.
was definitely not helping the situation and actually made your symptoms and the things that were going on much worse.
Yes. So for the next 12 years, yes, I said 12 years, I suffered from this issue. Our family went through it and we prayed a lot. We went to see Christian counselors. And while visiting one in particular, she was able to come up with the correct diagnosis of what was going on And it was an extremely rare disorder called dissociated fugue. And it perfectly matched what was going on.
It did. God used our counselor, our Christian counselor, mightily. Dana was just a dear, sweet Christian woman who had been seeking God as much or more than we were, because she knew our heart and she knew what was going on was not normal.
Yes. And one of the things that I always tell people when I talk to them about this is, despite having a diagnosis, it didn't solve any of the issues. It didn't make it go away, but it gave it a name.
It gave it a name, and I felt like it gave us a pathway to be able to pursue healing.
Yes. To be honest, initially, I was incredibly happy and incredibly blessed. And we had a meeting where we sat down with some friends and family and told them about the new diagnosis, about what was going on. And yes, there were a lot of people who accepted it and were very happy to hear that finally I was being diagnosed correctly. But I also feel like that there were people who did not agree with it in any way, shape, or form.
You know, what you would have thought with family and a godly Christian counselor, that there would have been a situation where people would have rallied around you. That wasn't 100% true.
Yes. I had some friends who just did not agree with it at all. They felt like that I could control what was going on and I just chose not to. They told me I needed to pray more, read my Bible more, do Christian things to end these behaviors. And even though I did all of those things, it didn't cause the mental health episodes to cease.
No.
And it eventually ended those friendships. And to be 100% honest, it almost ended my life, because I was so hurt and so angry and just felt like I had no hope, because these were some of my closest friends. Yes, and if I could not convince them that this was not something I could control, how could I convince anyone? And to be honest, I went through a lot of years of just being hurt and angry. I would tell myself, I'd go to church and I'd tell myself, oh, I've forgiven these people. But I continued to live with that hurt and that anger, especially towards one friend in particular. Mm-hmm. It really just ate at me. And finally, I would say about 2 years ago, we were in a church service and the pastor was talking about forgiveness. And during the close of that, while praying, I really felt like God told me, you know what? You need to just write this person a letter. You need to tell them that you forgive them, that you're not expecting anything out of them. You just want them to know you've forgiven them. And then I want you just to move on. And I have to be 100% honest. I did exactly what I was told. I wrote the letter. I mailed it. And God just supernaturally released me from all that hurt and that anger and that pain. Now, to be honest, it didn't reconcile the relationship. I never got a response, never heard from this person. But I'm no longer in that prison of anger.
That's wonderful. You know, in my life as well, you know, there are situations that have come up and, you know, where I've had to make a decision to forgive. You know, even in a situation where I've had somebody look at me and tell me they don't accept what I was saying to them. And I left and I felt hurt, but I also came to the point of realizing that I can't control whether a person chooses to accept my forgiveness or accept my apology. I can't control that.
No.
We can only do what God has asked us to do.
Yes. And while preparing for this podcast, we came across some great information in a counseling guide from Dallas Baptist University. And it was basically on forgiveness. They had these two columns, and I really liked it, so I wanted to share it with everybody. And it had a column that said, forgiveness is. It says, forgiveness is a gift to you and the person who offended you. It goes back to the parable.
Yes.
You know, if we are willing to forgive somebody, it needs to be because we've been forgiven. Something else is forgiveness is a conscious decision. And that's something that a lot of people have a hard time with. It's not a feeling.
Correct. It isn't a feeling. And I know for some time for myself, I can think of a couple situations where, I'll be honest with you, it was easier to hang on to the resentment.
Mm-hmm.
It was easier to hang on to revenge.
Yes.
You know, especially when you feel like that you didn't necessarily do anything wrong.
Mm-hmm.
And in both these situations, I didn't wrong these people, but I felt like God said, you need to forgive them. And my first reaction is, well, why?
Yes.
Why should I forgive them? You know, they hurt me. And then, you know, then that feeling of revenge just kind of comes in. You just want to see them pay for what they did.
Yes.
And when you think about that and you think about the story, the story that Jesus tells, and not choosing to forgive them for the $20, but knowing that my Heavenly Father's forgiven me for, you know, $20 million.
Yes. And it's one of those things, a lot of times people are like, well, I don't feel like forgiving. I don't have a desire to move on. I have a desire to get even. And that's why forgiveness is hard, because it's a choice. We're commanded in the Bible to forgive.
Well, and I feel like, too, we don't feel like they deserve to be forgiven.
Yes. That's a big thing, because you can look at someone and say, well, they're not sorry. They've not told me. You know, yes. I'd forgive them if they'd ask my forgiveness. And nowhere in the Bible does it say you can't forgive someone until they ask you to forgive Correct. Them.
That's right.
You know, the other column that it had was forgiveness is not.
What it's not. Correct. Yes.
Forgiveness is not forgetting the hurt. You know, it's one of those things that we can sit there and say, well, forgive and forget.
That's a little more difficult. I had somebody tell me one time when I was struggling with forgiveness towards someone. And I said, you know what? I said, okay, fine. I can choose to forgive. But what about the hurt? What about the pain? What about that? How do I forget that? I'm never going to forget that. And the person looked at me, and I thought it was kind of an interesting response. They said to me, well, Jamie, it's kind of like forgetting is like when the Lord kind of removes the sting of that.
Yes.
You know, it's not that you forget it and it just is blotted out of your mind. No, it's when you can look back on that situation and it doesn't bring about the amount of sting. The sting of that thing is kind of gone. And I thought that was a great definition of what forgetting is.
Yes. And it's one of those things that forgiveness is also not condoning or excusing the behavior.
Yes.
Forgiveness is a choice. It is something that we choose to do. It's that conscious decision. But it doesn't mean that we necessarily go, oh, well, I'm glad you did that to me. Or I'm happy that you did that to me.
Or put yourself in the position of being abused again.
Yes.
Or being hurt again by somebody. I don't believe that God's asking us to put ourselves in a position just to continue to be hurt over and over again.
No. I mean, forgiveness is not reconciling the relationship.
Sometimes it can't be reconciled.
Yeah. There are a lot of times that what has happened, it's just not possible to have a relationship with somebody that's hurt you that bad because of what they've done. It's not saying that you can never reconcile a relationship. There's plenty of stories out there of people who have forgiven somebody, or that person has asked forgiveness and they've been able to move on. But a lot of times that doesn't happen.
I think we need to try to leave the door open. There's always that possibility. We don't know how God will work in someone's life.
True.
You never know when God's going to work in someone's life, and that person might call you on the phone. That person may show up at your front door.
Mm-hmm.
I can remember a situation that happened many years ago that involved a woman who had rented some property to us.
Yes.
And our youngest son had obtained lead poisoning in that apartment.
Yeah.
And she showed up at the front door, and I think we had forgiven her, but of course we had some hard feelings about that. Definitely. Because it was kind of a neglectful thing of what she had done, and we hadn't spoken to her.
No, and any parent will sit there and say, yeah, I can forgive if you've done something to me, but this affected our children.
Yes.
And there was a lot of hurt, and there was a lot of anger, and I remember her looking at us and saying, I just feel so bad about this, and I feel so horrible about this. I mean, she had even talked about committing suicide.
Yes.
And my heart went out to her. I know Jamie's did as well, and we forgave her. We looked at her and said, listen, we forgive you for what happened. Now, that didn't change the circumstances.
Before her visit at the front door, it had been a number of years, and yes, we had never even heard from her. She had never apologized, never realized that she was wrong, any of those things. And Paul and I had to just move on with our life and take care of our youngest son and just trust God with the situation. So when she showed up at the front door, she was heartbroken, and she was just begging us to forgive her. And we had no choice but to forgive her.
And it changed the relationship. It really did. It was something that I never thought would happen, but it did. You know, I wanted to leave this episode with one thought as we enter into Holy Week next week. You know, many of us, every Sunday in our church services, recite the Lord's Prayer. And when you look at the one verse in particular, it says, and forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. You know, instead of just meaninglessly repeating the phrase in church, think of it this way. We've all sinned terribly against God. Think $20 million.
We can never repay that.
Yes, that's a debt we will never repay. There's no way. If you owed someone $20 million, it is physically impossible for you to pay it off. Jesus came and died on the cross so that we could be forgiven of those sins. He paid the price. He took all of that $20 million in debt. He assumed all of that debt upon himself, and that debt was paid.
Amen.
So,
yep. Praise God.
We who have accepted that forgiveness that Christ gives, how much more should we forgive those who have sinned against us? We don't want to be that callous servant who is just like grabbing people by the throat and you've wronged me, you've hurt me, you've done this.
The Lord Jesus paid such a price, a high price. I mean, really, we use $20 million because to most of us, $20 million is a lot of money.
Yes.
But in reality, $20 million really doesn't even touch the surface.
No.
Of what Jesus has done for us. And I think there are times that we're at church and the Lord's Prayer is recited, and we don't even give a second thought to what we're saying. We don't even give a first thought. It's just something that's quoted and said. And I think many times we need to spend time really thinking about what it is we're saying. What mm-hmm. are we saying?
Yes.
Definitely. You know, when it says, forgive us our sins as we have forgiven those who sinned against us. Wow.
Yeah. That's
powerful. As we have forgiven. So what if we just don't forgive other people?
Yes. And I want to make this clear so that everyone understands. God's forgiveness is free. It's not something you can earn. It doesn't matter how many times you go to church. It doesn't matter how many Hail Marys you say. None of that matters. God's forgiveness and his grace is free. So since it's free and that has been given to us, then we should be able to give that same kind of free forgiveness to those around us.
Absolutely. And I would want to encourage people that, especially as we're getting ready to approach Palm Sunday and Easter, and usually Easter and Christmas are the big go to church scenes where people say, hey, you know, I think I better get my stuff together and go to church. And can I just say this? It's so important. You know, I think sometimes we do think, oh, well, I go to church, therefore that makes me a Christian.
Yes.
And the reality is that doesn't make us a Christian. Just because we go to church, there was somebody who made this comment, and I thought it was kind of an interesting comment, but it's funny. It's like if you go to McDonald's every day, that doesn't make you a hamburger.
Yes.
So if we're going to church, whether you're going to church every week, twice a week, three times a week, or maybe you're just go twice a year. Can I just say this in love? It doesn't make you a Christian.
No, it does not.
The only thing that's going to make you a Christian is accepting what the Lord Jesus Christ did for you on the cross.
Yes.
That's what Easter is all about.
Yes. Yes. And as, like I said, as we get into Holy Week and we go towards Good Friday, you know, when we celebrate, that's kind of a weird word to say, but Christ dying on the cross, it's because he took all of that on. But then the amazing thing about it is the story doesn't end with him being crucified. No. Jesus isn't on the cross anymore.
No.
He's not in the grave. He's risen from the dead, Jesus. Sitting next to the yes. Father, advocating for us
yes.
and saying, this person is forgiven. This person has accepted what I've done. This person is forgiven. And again, how much more should we forgive those people who have sinned against us if that is what has been done
yes.
for us by God?
Yes. Colossians 3:13, and we'll close with this, says, so chosen by God for this new life of love, dress in the wardrobe God picked out for you. Compassion, kindness, humility, quiet strength, discipline. Be even-tempered, content with second place, quick to forgive an offense. Forgive as quickly and completely as the Master forgave you. And regardless of what else you put on, wear love. It's your basic all-purpose garment and never be without it.
Wow, that's an amazing verse. I love that. So let's just end this with a quick prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for what you did for us on the cross. Lord, as we enter Holy Week with Palm Sunday this coming Sunday, we just ask that you would help us to really understand what you did for us.
Yes, Jesus.
For how much you've forgiven us. Lord, help us to see just the depths of our sin and how we can never repay that debt. And Lord, I just ask that you would use this time to help people to understand what you've done for us, and that, Lord, that you died to save us, and that we can come to you and be forgiven. And Lord, help us to forgive those that have hurt us with the same forgiveness yes, that you have given us.
Yes.
In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Well, that's all for this week. Jamie and I wanted to thank you for choosing to listen to our podcast today. To learn more about us and our ministry, please visit us at www.holeintheroof.co. You can also find us on Facebook and Instagram. Lastly, if you're in need of prayer, we would be honored to pray for you. To reach out to us for any reason or to send us your prayer request, email us at holeintheroofministries@gmail.com. See you all next week as we once again invite you into our living room while we discuss just how awesome God is.